Good afternoon and good morning and good evening, I guess, for some people. This is Manju Chitani, and I work at ABAC, and I run the Fellows Program at ABAC. Just wanted to welcome you all to this call. Thank you for waiting. It's a few minutes over, and we're very excited to be launching the sixth call for fellowship application. We have a lot of people on the call. The most important thing we want to get to is your questions, but let me tell you a little bit what we're going to try and do on this call. I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview of ADAC and the program, and my colleague Julian will tell you a little bit about the application process. Then we're going to hear from some of our current fellows, our 2014 fellows. We'll ask just a couple of words of the programs, their projects that they're working on in their fellowship year. And we have a number of our alumni also on the call who you may ask to say a few words. And then we'll take your questions. And there are multiple ways for you to give your questions. And one is through unmuting your line, and we'll give you that information when it's time to ask questions about how you can ask questions directly. Also, we received a lot of your questions beforehand, which we are definitely looking at now. And we are trying something really new this year, which we opened up a WhatsApp line to be able to take some of your questions. So just so you know, that WhatsApp line is only for this fellowship call, and it's not a way for you to communicate about your application or status of your application going forward, but we thought it was a really interesting way to get your questions. Please don't worry if we don't get to every specific question that you send through WhatsApp or through email, because we still have a month more of the fellowship program, and we're happy to write to people directly to answer some of your questions. So why don't we just get started, and I'm hoping that some of the more general questions that people have, we can answer in our introduction and other places, and then we can get to others. So, again, very excited to be here. My name is Manju Chitani, and I run the Fellows Program with a fantastic team. And I wonder if my team can just quickly introduce themselves right now. Unmute yourself and say hello.
Well, you've already heard from me a few times this morning, but this is Julian Burns, and I provide a variety of support to the fellowship team.
Hi, all. This is Sindra Feuer, and I co-manage the fellowship program.
Do we have Angela online?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
Hello there. My name is Angelo Okatumba, and I also help co-manage this year.
Excellent. And we have others who help us throughout the year who you may hear from later. But if not, if you do become a fellow, you'll see a lot of our fellowship team. So ADAC is, if you're not speaking now, even my team, would you mute your line, please? I can hear a lot of background noise. Thank you very much. So ADAC is an organization based in the U.S. It is about 20 years old almost. It started out as an organization that focused primarily around advocacy for HIV vaccines, and since then has grown to really look at prevention research across the board. So currently, ABAC is looking at a range of new interventions that are either in research or early implementation stage. If you read our application information packet clearly, we describe the different interventions we focus on and what state they're at. ADAC uses education, advocacy, and policy work to really translate research for community and advocates to understand and engage with. And the other way around, we really try and translate issues at the ground that are most important to communities back to the researchers. The researchers developed in a way which is ethical, and we are responding to issues on the ground. We do a lot to work with community advocates to get them engaged in the process and make sure that once we do have good research results, we reach policy and action quickly. So that's a quick overview about AVAC, but you can find a lot of information about us and what we do at our website at www.avac.org. So a lot about the fellowship program. Fellowship program, we have 5 years of fellows. We're now taking applications for the sixth year of fellowship. It is a program that has been designed to identify and nurture emerging champions in countries where research is happening or implementation of new research interventions is at the forefront. We've had 38 fellows to date, and every year we take in anywhere from 6 to 9 fellows. The fellowship starts in February next year and goes for 1 year only, so it ends at the end of January in 2016. The fellowship pairs the fellowship really looks to support advocates within a host organization in their own country. And so the relationship is really between the fellow and the host organization and us. It's a year-long fellowship. What to get as part of this fellowship is a full year's equivalent of a salary stipend. You get a small project budget to be able to do activities, and there's an overall support to the host organization to help administer the grant. The fellowship really has to be focused on one of the areas that AVAC has some technical experience in. I'll stay at the forefront. We always get really interesting applications about structural change and societal change, which is extremely important for HIV prevention to work. But in our fellowship program, that is not what we focus on. We really focus on HIV prevention, either through research or early implementation. And you'll hear a little bit about that when you hear our fellows talk. The application deadline is August the 4th, and I'm going to hand over to my colleague Julian in a minute to just tell you those dates. And at the end of the call, I'll repeat them to you again. Before we go into the rest of the call, I really want to urge people to look at the multiple resources you have to find out about this program. A lot of the questions that I saw via email actually have questions that are answered in either the application information packet, which you can get online, or there's a document called Questions and Answers for Host Organizations, which you can get online. There were questions about what kinds of projects current fellows are doing. You can also see that online on our fellows page. And Julian will give you the exact URL you can go to look at our fellows' profiles, our current fellows, our alumni fellows, and also to download the information and materials. We primarily work in African countries. Last year, year before, we had our first fellow from China, but mostly all our fellows are in Eastern and Southern Africa. And that's because those are the countries where research is happening around HIV prevention, either microbicides or vaccines or PrEP, or rollout of new interventions such as treatment of prevention, DMSP, and PrEP. So there's a lot more to tell you about the program, but I think we'll get to it in your questions. Julian, do you want to tell everyone a little bit about the URL they can go to for information and also some key dates to keep in mind?
Absolutely. I can't stress that point enough that there's just so much information on our website about the fellowship program, definitely it will improve your application if you just take some time and really explore that. So the first place to go is go to www.avac.org/fellows. And from there you can find there's a link for the application materials, including a document that is the 2015 application process and key dates, which spells out exactly what's going to happen when, starting, of course, with the August 4th deadline for the first part of your application, and then going through until the fellowship begins in February of 2015. So just sort of the top line overview there is by August 4th, you need to prepare the basic part of your application that shows who you are and what you want to do with a fellowship. And then we will review those, and assume if you are chosen to advance to the next round, then you'll be asked to submit another set of materials about your host organization so that we can review them as well and see if they're going to be a good partner and a good host for you. And then we will do interviews with shortlisted candidates and host organization representatives. And then there's an independent review process. We're now getting into October, at which point our decision will be made, and by the end of November we will be letting everyone know who has been accepted to the 2015 class, and we'll begin work plan and budget development at that point and all of the prep work to start the fellowship in February of 2015. Again, all of this information is in a document on the AVAC website. Go to avac.org/fellows. And you can find that as well as all the materials you need to apply and lots more great information. Is that everything you wanted me to cover, Manju?
Thanks. Yes, thank you so much, Julian. I'm actually going to hold on for the questions just for a couple of minutes, and maybe we can take a couple of words from some of the fellows on the call. I'm going to ask a couple of our 2014 fellows to tell you about the program they're doing. To the 2014 fellow, please just keep it short. And later on in the call, right before we end, we'll ask some of them to also give you any final words or advice. Perhaps I can ask Definite Namo, one of our 2014 fellows, if you can unmute your line by pressing *7.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Manju.
Hi, Definite. Definite, if you could just start us off with just a couple of lines about what you're doing this year in your fellowship.
My name is Definite Namo. I'm based in Zimbabwe. And I'm a current fellow, 2014 fellow, and I'm looking at trying to increase the contraceptive method mix in Zimbabwe, because there is only so much that's offered, and especially looking at young women. So I'm looking at what is it that young women would want to see happen, and try and improve the contraceptive method mix, especially for young women, although all women who need to access contraception will also benefit, but my focus really is on young women. I'm also looking at microbicides. There is a current trial that's happening with the ring study in Zimbabwe, and I'm looking at post access to microbicides to the ring, especially with the special focus on the ring study, and seeing that if it's found to be efficacious, how will access be like? What do we need to do in order for women to access the microbicides if it's seen to be efficacious? I think in a nutshell, that's what I'm doing. But if people have questions, I'm happy to take on questions.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Definite. And maybe there'll be questions in the question period. Maybe I can ask Evelyn Ombati, one of our fellows in Kenya this year, to unmute her line, *7. And to mute your line back, everyone, if I ask you to unmute it, *6. But to unmute your line, Evelyn, if you could press *7 and just tell everyone a few words about what you're working on.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Evelina's Mandira Sage from Kenya, and I'm focusing on multi-purpose prevention technologies together with microbicides. So my focus is on increasing civil society involvement in microbicides and multi-purpose prevention technologies. And in addition, I also want to engage research regulators to identify what issues they would want addressed for license of microbicides should they be found to be efficacious, and also what sort of issues they would want to see addressed before they approve future research either on microbicides or multi-purpose prevention technologies. In addition, I'm also doing a desk review on microbicide acceptability studies that have been conducted in Kenya, just to try and see what sort of recommendations were identified during these studies and see how they can influence future research on microbicides and multi-purpose prevention technologies.
Thank you so much, Evelyn. And again, Evelyn will be on the call if there are questions. And finally, before we move to our questions, I'd like to ask one of our alumni fellows to perhaps tell us a little bit about the fellowship, but spend also a minute telling us what she's doing now post-fellowship and how that connects to her fellowship work. I think we have Maureen Malanga, also from Kenya. She was a 2013 fellow. And I'm wondering if Maureen's on the call, and Maureen, you can unmute and speak to us. *7 to unmute your line.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm actually looking for Maureen. Maureen, are you on the line? I think we don't have Maureen on the line. Peter Michira, also one of our alumni fellows. Do we have you on the line, Peter? *7 to unmute your line.
Hello?
Yes, who's this?
It's Celo in South Africa, in Japan.
Could you hold on to your questions for a little bit? Please mute your line. When we get to the questions, we'll be more than happy to take one from you. So if you could just mute your line. Since we're having a hard time reaching our alumni fellow, I'm actually just going to move us forward and hand over to my colleagues to run some questions. Hopefully, we will be able to hear from more of our fellows during the questions. I'm also happy to let you know we have one of our host supervisors from a previous year on the line, and we may call on him to answer some questions too. But in order for us to go through this and not waste too much more time, maybe I will hand over to my colleagues Angelo and Sindra to lead us through the discussion period. Thank you, Angelo and Sindra.
Thanks, Manju. Can you hear?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, again, this is Sindra with my colleague, Angelo, and we're going to take your questions by phone and by WhatsApp. So to ask a question, you have to hit *7, and we'll take the call. We'll take the questions as they come in. So this is your opportunity to ask any of those burning questions that you might have about the fellowship. And while we're waiting, do we hear someone?
Yes, please. This is Kene from Nigeria. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yep.
All right. I've been interested in the AVAC fellowship program, and I've been following the discussion in the last 30 minutes or so. What I'd like to know is what must be the background qualification to make me eligible for this fellowship. For instance, I graduated in the sciences, but I did agriculture. For upwards of 18 years, I have been working in the development sector, working with NGOs that do provide retraining workshops and awareness programs on sexuality and reproductive health. With this knowledge I have on the job, did I have the privilege of being accepted as a fellow on the AFAS program? Thank you.
So that's a good question. I don't think that we could tell you right off the bat on the phone whether you would be accepted or not, but we can give you some general information about what we're looking for, which is usually we're looking for people who have some experience in the HIV prevention field or treatment field, and or folks who have had advocacy experience. Particularly in reproductive and sexual health is definitely something that we, that's an intersection that we work on or at with HIV. Particularly, we're also a bit focused on the hormonal contraception and HIV risk. So that would definitely be something that we're interested in seeing if you were to apply. And as everyone who has read our materials know that we, and has, as Manju said, we work on biomedical prevention interventions, and that could be anything that's been approved for use or something that's in research. For example, vaccines, microbicides, PrEP, treatment as prevention, voluntary medical male circumcision, and the cure. I hope that answers your question.
You. Yes, please. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, hello. Can I ask another one? I'd like to know also if, for instance, if I'm not eligible, could my organization be one of such organizations to which you could send fellows to do some work with us so that they can also get involved and the same kind of activities or projects that you're doing?
Great question. Absolutely. We have partnerships with many, many organizations, and they go beyond the fellowships. So if you or anyone on the call has an idea for how our organizations can work together, we're always open to hearing those ideas. As long as it focuses on as long as we have shared goals and shared visions, which are working on those particular interventions that I just had talked about. Thanks for your question.
Maybe I can pipe in here. This is Manju.
Sure.
To say that it's important for everyone on the call to know that, as you know, we prioritize applications where the fellow, the prospective fellow, the applicant has identified a host organization. It's rare that we accept a fellow without a host organization. It's not unheard of, but really the priority we give is for fellows who have made connections, either spoken to the existing organizations or talked to new organizations about creating a relationship. Although we're interested to hear from organizations who are interested in hosting fellows, the primary way we take applications is through the individual applicant who has identified a host organization. Just want to make that clear.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so if someone is interested in applying for a fellowship and you don't have an affiliated organization, that's okay. Well, you would have to find one. So you don't have to be working right now at an organization, but when you do your application, it would be nice to have, you would have to have an organization that is willing to support you and to align with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your question. Anyone else? Angela, maybe you want to take a WhatsApp question?
Yes, can you hear me?
Great.
Again, this is Angelo from Evoc, and we do have a few questions that have come in through WhatsApp, and we have an editor from Jakarta who has a question, are journalists eligible to apply for the fellowship? And again, the answer would be yes, depending on what they're applying to do. So, for example, we would not, again, the fellowship, the application has to be competitive. So let's assume that this application is competitive as an advocacy project. I think that's a really, really important part of anyone who is thinking, for anyone who is thinking of applying, you have to have an advocacy goal. For example, you would not have, for the journalist, you would not be eligible, for example, to be supported to do your regular work as a journalist, for example, to report on, to be reporting on issues just for the sake of reporting. You have to have an advocacy angle to your work. The other, and we actually have had some people focus on working with journalists, for example, to improve reporting on, say, the scale-up of VMMC, or to improve the reporting on HIV prevention, biomedical HIV prevention options in their country. So there has to be an advocacy angle to your work, as opposed to just increasing coverage of these issues. A second question actually just came in from Bamidele in Nigeria, and Bamidele would like to know if there are any fellows who have been working on PrEP rollout and what kind of work they've done. The answer is yes, and in fact, we earlier talked about Peter Michira, who was based in Kenya. His fellowship was entirely based on working on PrEP. We had a Nigerian fellow last year. He did not focus on PrEP, but he worked around treatment as prevention and trying to improve access for intervention, particularly for young women and girls. So we can't get into the details of exactly what he did, but as my colleagues have all said, we have all this information on our website. You can actually go and learn exactly what every fellow who has worked on a particular issue, what they did. All this information is on our website, and you can go on www.evac.org/fellows for that. I hope that answers your question, Bamidele, and I'll hand you back, hand back to Sindra.
Thank you, Angelo. So the line is open for anyone who wants to ask questions. Again, it's *7 to unmute your phone.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah, this is Aki Top of last year.
I'm sorry, we're here. Can you repeat what you said?
This is Aki, Dar Aki from Liberia.
Hello.
West Africa, Liberia. Yeah, I said my name is Aki, Dar Aki from Liberia,
yeah.
West
yeah.
Africa. I've listened to questions from other potential applicants, and I also have a question about the FAQ, the informational packet, question 10, the last bullet. We talk about applicants who are research or senior staff members, e.g. leaders of aid services or community organizations, will only be considered under special circumstances. I think within West Africa, the issue of biomedical research and HIV prevention research have been very limited to such a region. So if you are an applicant who is not too versed into biomedical discussion, but better still, if an advocate who have been working with a variety of AIDS prevention program and who wants to see the issue of biomedical research program within his country, what do we make of that in comparison of qualification for the required fellowship?
So I'm not sure I got the exact question.
I can repeat that.
Oh, that's okay.
Great.
I think I got the question.
Okay.
Hello, again, Manju from from ADAC. I think your question was about applicants from countries like yours, Liberia, where there isn't biomedical prevention happening, but that you're interested in bringing it to your country. Am I right? Did I get the gist of your question?
Yeah, that is what
okay.
I was asking, because you
let me get to it. I just want to, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I'm realizing how many questions we have here. So the short answer to that is that we absolutely recognize that there are more countries where biomedical prevention and implementation is not happening rather than those that are. Unfortunately, we only offer 6 to 9 fellowships, so we really do have to focus in. And the truth is we're looking for the most compelling ideas. If somebody writes to us from a country where we have not worked before, for example, we had a fellowship from China, and she made a really strong case for why we should accept her fellowship. We took her on. So if there's a really compelling case, somebody who has a really good idea for what they'd like to get done, how they'd like to do it, why that specific intervention is important to focus in that country, even without existing research and implementation there, we would look at it. Absolutely. You just have to know that it's a very competitive program. So people applying from countries where there is existing implementation or the beginning of implementation have a stronger case. But we're looking for the best ideas and really strong applicants. So I don't want to dishearten people to apply, but just have to know, and you have to look at where we've taken our previous applicants to know what your chances are and the gamble that we have. Every year, for example, we have very strong and interested Nigerian applicants who haven't made it through. But last year, we got one of our first Nigerian fellows, Taiwo. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. And he wrote a really compelling application for doing Option B plus work with young HIV positive pregnant women and getting their dues, and he got his fellowship. So again, not to dishearten those of you from West Africa who are interested, but it's going to make a very strong case. Back to you, Sindra and Angelo.
Sure. I just want to top that off and saying, yes, we definitely work in countries where there's research. And one of the reasons why there's research in these countries is because they're the highest HIV-burdened countries. And Nigeria is, it doesn't have as much research, but it also has the largest population, so it has a lot of HIV as well. So we definitely consider where there's a lot of HIV when we consider who we're going to work with. So any other questions on the line? Star 7, unmute. If people are being
hello.
Hi. Oh, hello. Hello, we have a new question. Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Simon from Kenya, an alumni fellow.
And you're what?
Alumni fellow. Simon,
I know.
Kenya.
So you have a comment, Simon? Bring it on.
My question is, I read from the other website that we'll be having probably information sessions, on-site information sessions. And I believe that's one way of really opening up and explaining to everyone what the fellowship is all about. The few people who might have not been able to come to be on this call, are those still on plan?
Yeah, Simon, thanks for that great question. We are doing information sessions in all the countries where we have current fellows. Do Manju or Julian want, or Angela want to talk about those? The schedule? Sure. Simon, can you mute your line, please? Star 6.
Hello, what? How can I mute it?
Star 6.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Simon, for bringing that up. You're absolutely right. So over the next month, before the application deadline on August the 4th, Our fellows in the cities they're at and our alumni fellows will be holding in-country information sessions where you can go speak to the actual fellows, get the application material, ask your questions. We don't have a schedule of those right now, but once our fellows fix the time and date that they will be doing their sessions, we'll be sure to advertise it, especially to the list of people who join this call. So stay tuned, but thank you for reminding us about that, Simon.
Hello?
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 Is there another question on the line? Hello? Hi there.
Yeah, yes. My name
yes.
is Amenya, and I'm calling from Kenya.
Hello. What's your question?
Hello.
What's your question?
My question is, I would like to roll out the VMMC program in Kenya. That is the coastal part of Kenya, Mombasa.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to, if there is any program that somebody who has rolled out this program, or maybe you have a limit that has done it before in Kenya, that you can connect me with so that I can learn from their previous work and what they have done.
Great. So this is, so you want to learn from their previous work in order to apply for the fellowship? Is that what you're looking for?
I've looked the previous work that they have been done in Kenya, but most of this work have been done in the other regions in Kenya, not in the coastal part of Kenya. And because of the rural urban migration, this region has been neglected in terms of VMMC, and there are people who are the circumference community from other regions who have come to Mombasa, and they are here and they're staying here. And these things are just being done in other parts where they cannot reach these services.
I understand.
And
so,
there is
a
demand
for
it.
Okay.
Mostly
so there's
the
a need for roll out.
Not really the indigenous people who are living in coast, but those
okay.
who have come from other regions.
So your question was, can you be put in touch with other folks from Kenya who have done this work? And the answer is yes. In fact, Simon, who just called in, a former fellow, worked in Nyanza province on VMMC rollout. So offline, we could connect the two. If you send us an email, we can connect you to him. Thanks for your question.
I will appreciate. I will send you an
okay.
email today.
Great.
Now,
thanks for
I
your question.
An email so that you can connect me with him.
Great. Thank you. So, Angela, you had some questions from WhatsApp?
Yes, you do have additional
yeah,
questions.
Yeah, I did. I placed some questions. Or I can place some questions on WhatsApp.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Sure.
Thank you. So, yeah. So we're going to move on to Angelo. You have WhatsApp questions?
Yes. Yeah, so one question from Oloru, actually, also in Nigeria, is there a particular area that someone can focus on that would increase their chances of being selected? And the answer would be, I would say yes and no. We can't dictate, we can't tell candidates to apply for a particular thing. But I would, again, advise you to look at the website. You get a good understanding of what EVAC's areas of focus are. And then also look at your country. What are the trends in your country? What are the priorities? How do those relate to what EVAC works on? And also your potential host organization. How do the areas you want to focus on relate to their goals and objectives? I think if you're able to answer those questions and get the linkages between what EVAC does, what the priorities in your country are, and what the host organization that you're intending to apply with focuses on, I think you'll be able to get a good understanding of increasing your chances of being selected. So we can't give you a definitive answer because then we'll be doing your application for you as an applicant. The other question is around PrEP again. In advocating for PrEP, does EVAC make the commodity available? The answer is no. EVAC is an advocacy organization. We do not do the research. We do not do service delivery. We are a translation organization, and we try to translate complex scientific issues into ways that communities can understand them. We help translate issues from the scientists to the communities, from communities to scientists, but we do not take, we do not do the research ourselves, and we do not work around ensuring that, for example, getting PrEP from the shelf to the individual. We can help to ensure that individuals actually get those products, but we do not get the products to the individuals. I hope that helps. So, and this applies to all the other interventions that we work on. We do not do research. We help translate the research and then help translate programs, science into programs in that way. I hope that helps. The last one from it's something I think we actually already talked about. What are the additional application requirements? We can't get into those details, but again, we encourage you to look at the EVAC website. It has a ton of resources. If you just spend an hour reading these resources, you'll be good to go. Everything you need to know about requirements is on there. I particularly encourage you to read the question and answer tool that we have on there. It talks about how fellows can be compensated, you know, how they're compensated, what you get from the fellowship, how you select your host supervisor and all that stuff. So kindly read those application materials. And with that, I will hand back to Sindra.
So thanks, Angela. I just want to add about, you know, that we're a translational organization and we help, you know, we help translate the science. But we also, we're primarily an advocacy organization, so we, advocacy is our focus, and so we also advocate a lot with policymakers to actually implement the programs or to get funding to the programs. And I'm just going to ask if Maureen is still on the phone, because Maureen is a fellow who's done a lot of work with policymakers in her country, and maybe she could just speak really briefly about some of that advocacy that she's done. Maureen, are you still here? I hope so. *7, Maureen. All right, so if she's not here, oh, you're here. So, Maureen, do you want to just talk to me briefly about the advocacy, working with policymakers, and what change you've actually affected?
Yes, sure. Sorry about before. I worked on, my policy was about ensuring guidelines and funding reflects new science. It had, at the beginning of the year, we did quite a bit of work on using politicians, trying to get politicians to speak about HIV and make HIV an agenda in the elections. Then we moved on to working on PEPFAR, the government fund for HIV. So we were able to increase the number of people who work in the society that work on PEPFAR, and also increase the amount of support that PEPFAR offers the country. We also did quite a bit of work on the Global Fund and increased we're able to do an application that increased the treatment guidelines even before the guidelines were actually adopted in country. Then we did quite a bit of work in increasing civil society capacity, being able to put them in the right place, being able to have them, be able to do the right thing, be very prepared for the different people they were engaging with throughout the year. So, currently, post-fellowship, so following up on the PEPFAR guidelines, I'm also the Global Fund application that's supposed to take place towards the end of this year. And I'm also working on the Kenya AIDS Strategic Framework, which is also, it's just carrying on the work that I have done during the fellowship and moving it on along in my organization as part of the organization's work.
Great. Thank you so much, Maureen. So I just want to emphasize that Maureen really worked at the national level in Kenya with all the different mechanisms from multilateral. She worked with the Global Fund and PEPFAR and the National AIDS Council really at a high level.
which a lot of, most of our fellows work at that level, but they also work at the district level or the provincial level. Do we have any other callers on the line who want to ask questions? We did have a, go ahead.
No, it's me, Cinder, go ahead.
We have some email questions that we can answer while we're waiting for folks to call in. Is there anyone on the line who has a question right now? So, we got this question several times, and I'm not sure that it was clear, made clear earlier, but the question is the fellowship sponsored? And the answer to that question is absolutely it's sponsored. If you are one of the 6 to 9 people who actually qualified to become a fellow for the year, then you have your, it's a full-time job and you have your salary paid for the year by ABAC to do the advocacy work. I just wanted to make that clear in case it wasn't. The question came in several times. Any other callers have questions? Or any other WhatsApp questions?
I think there are several WhatsApp
questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, there's several. Actually, Celia from Zimbabwe asked about, she says she's a PhD student and, you know, would she be able to deal with the pressure of working on her PhD and working on this fellowship? And the short answer to that is no. And this is why. The fellowship is very, very intense. And for those who are on the fellowship currently and those who have been through it, I think you can testify to this. Fellows are encouraged to be 100% on the fellowship. And as Cinder rightly said, Eva compensates for this time for up to 100%. We have had some fellows who are anywhere between 75 to 90% on the fellowship. But our preference is 100%, and once people are once applicants are successful, EVAC and the host organization and the fellow have a conversation on what percentage of time they might spend. But our recommendation is always 100%, although we've had people who do not commit all the time. So for Celia, the answer to your question is no. You cannot do your PhD along with the fellowship, and you cannot have another job along with the fellowship. In fact, once fellows are selected, they're given a specific time within which they would be expected to resign from their current responsibilities. It's a 1-year fellowship, and we encourage people to take everything else aside and commit anywhere between 75 to 100% of their time to the fellowship. I hope that is clear. The other really good question is... it's something that came in also on WhatsApp. How best can one advocate for new HIV prevention strategies without dwelling much on why it's important for them to join studies that are meant to bring positive results in the new and proven areas of prevention? And it's a really, really good question, and I'm going to ask my colleague Manju to address it.
Thank you, Angelo. And I think whoever asked that question got to the crux of the challenge of doing some prevention research advocacy, because we believe we want new interventions for people that are targeted to them, that they can use easily, but we are not part of the research team, and we are definitely not part of the, you know, the product team, the pharmaceutical is interested in that product. And so it's a delicate balance about how we advocate, because we're not, we do want the trials to succeed. We want those studies to succeed, but it's not our job as advocates to do that. In fact, it's definitely not our job to get involved in that. So, for example, earlier on we heard from one of our fellows in Kenya, Evelyn Ombati, and she's really interested in looking to increase women's voices in a new area of research around multipurpose prevention technologies. But she's not focused on which technology is going forth and who it's by. She's much more interested in getting people informed about research and being able to engage on their own
with that research process. So it's a good question. It's a delicate balance, but it comes back to something that both my colleagues, Sindra and Angelo, have focused on, which is this is about advocacy. This isn't about research. This isn't about demand creation. This is really about advocacy. And the good thing for you to know is that when you submit your project idea, we don't expect you to have a fully fledged plan. There'd be no reason for you to do a fellowship because part of the fellowship is getting technical support from the AVAC team to you to help develop an idea you have for your country. You've seen a gap, you want to fill it, and you have some ideas. So when we look at your application, we look for your ideas, we look for how you think, we look for how strategic you are. If you are successful, then in the work plan development stage, we work very closely with you and with your host organization to develop a project, usually based on the very ideas you had. Although sometimes, and some of the fellows on the call could tell you, they're a little bit different than what people suggest because their idea may have been good but may not be the most feasible, and we really help them shape it. And so through that process, we work on this balancing of ensuring we're advocates and we're not doing the work that either researchers should be doing or government should be doing. We're not there to take their work on. It's a very different area of work. I know it may not be as clear as you wanted, but I just want to say it's an interesting question and it's a balancing act. Since I have the phone, maybe also I will ask, I think we have one of our host supervisors, Kenneth Ngure, on the call. Dr. Ngure, I wonder if you want to share just a couple of words with people who are looking for host organizations and any advice you can give them or tell them the experience of a host organization. Dr. Ngure, if you're still with us, if you star 7 to unmute your line. Dr. Ngure? Perhaps not. I also wonder if we have our alumni fellow. Hello, is that Dr. Ngure?
Yes, sorry, yes. Sorry, I had cut out briefly.
Go. No problem, sir. We're just asking you for a couple of words about any advice to applicants about choosing a host organization and the kind of work a host organization does.
Great. I think the key to choosing a host organization, I think it's very well, very important that the fellows align their goals with the host institution. And it will be important for the host organization to go to the institution to find out whether the environment will be friendly enough for them to work. So those are my key points. Just to align your aims with the host organization.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ngure. We really appreciate that. And if there are any people on the call who want to be in touch with previous host organizations to ask them questions, you can find out if any of the hosts are willing to talk to you. But thank you, Dr. Ngure. Back to you, Sindra and Angelo.
Great, thanks. So we wanted to tap some of the fellows just to give some advice to those who are applying. So I wonder if Tonda's still on the line. Tonda's a former fellow. He's a 2013 fellow from South Africa. And he had a successful year working on good participatory practices. Tonda, are you here? Star 7?
Hello.
Hi. Do you have any advice for the applicants, for the candidates, fellows?
Thank you. Thank you, Sindra, for this opportunity. And I think sharing from experience, I think I would like to highlight the fact that having worked for quite some time in HIV prevention trials and having been aware of the fellowship program since its inception, you know, I hadn't applied during the very, very first years of the fellowship. I think what I want to highlight is that it is because there was no need personally, and I had not seen a gap or an area of need that I needed to do an advocacy for. So I think what is important really is that it is important to be clear of what you want to work on, or be clear about a change that you want to impact as a fellow, so that you don't apply to be a fellow just because there is a fellowship, but because there is a real need and there is a real challenge that you want to address, or there is real change that you want to impact in the field of HIV prevention research, or even in the field of HIV research.
Thank you, Tando. Angela, you want to do the last question?
Oh, actually, I mean, we do have, maybe we can hear from maybe another person among the, we have Yvette on the line as well, and Kanisa and Jackie. But maybe, Yvette, what sort of advice would you have for these guys who are just about to apply for their fellowship? I'm not sure if we dropped Yvette, but if Kanisa or Jackie are able to answer that question and you're still on the line, would you kindly answer the question? What advice would you give to the applicants?
To unmute yourself, press star 7.
Anyone still there? Jackie? Or Simon?
Hi, Angela, can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
Yes, Simon is still there. Hello.
Okay, it's Kanisa, yeah?
Hi, yes, Kanisa.
That's right.
Hi, I mean, the advice that I would give to someone who wants to apply for a fellowship is to really, because there's enough time to go through the application, you know, form, really understand, you know, the questions, but also get to know the host organization, and also if the project that, the project idea that they have, if it's really aligned to the organization's priorities.
Anissa?
Hello?
Yeah, we had lost you.
Okay, no, I'm still here.
Yeah, great. So your advice is for them to align their project to the host organization's priorities, and that's really, really good advice. Simon?
Yeah, I mean, it's just to make sure.
Hmm?
Hello.
Yeah, let's hear from Simon and then we'll move on to the next segment of the call.
Hello.
I'm sorry, my noisy place. Yes.
Thanks, Kanisa.
One piece of advice I'll give the candidate fellows is to try and be as creative as possible and as innovative as possible, and they also look at the current trends in the HIV prevention within their regions and their country of origin. And I think they need to try and be a little bit simple, even though they are creative and innovative. They just need to have simple projects that they can implement within a period of 1 year, and will definitely project that will create the necessary impact so that we can see uptake in some of these services, or increasing education levels about the services that are available. That's my one piece of advice to the current fellows. And anybody from Kenya that would like to really contact me for more advice, I'm also welcome. And my email, like I will say, will be shared with them so that they can contact me for more information. The other thing they need to do is to also read widely. Let them not just focus on if it's women.
Yeah, I think we just lost Simon. Sorry, Simon, the call dropped, I think.
Hello, Angelo, can you hear me?
Yes. Who is this?
Hi, everyone. It's Yvette from South Africa. I'm working in Mpumalanga on a project on PrEP with young women and girls. But my advice basically for everyone is just commitment, planning, and more planning. You need to be committed to your project and love what you're going to do because it's going to be a very exciting year, like it is for me.
Great. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Yeah, and Simon. Hello.
This is Jackie. Can you hear me?
Yes, Jackie. You have the last word.
I was trying to unmute. I'll just add to what Ntando and Simon said. For those who want to apply, just look for something in your country that will make a change in terms of advocacy and also the new prevention technologies. Like Ntando said, don't look for something that will just keep you in the fellowship. Look for something that you can advocate for that will make a change in your country and a great impact. Thank you.
Awesome.
Many thanks, Jackie, for that advice, and thank you all. We really appreciate it. So, I see it's 7 minutes.
Angela.
Yes, Simon.
I think I will start off before I finish. I think one other thing that the current fellows, the candidate fellows should look into is ideas that are sustainable so that it doesn't end with the end of the fellowship year. Something that even if it's not them picking it up beyond the fellowship year, somebody else within their host organizations can continue doing it, and that will create an entire impact beyond the year of the fellowship, and that's it. Thanks.
I agree with Simon on that as well.
That is such fantastic advice. We need to think beyond the fellowship year. How sustainable is the work that you are proposing to do? What impact is it going to have on your host organization and your country and the epidemic? You know, because that's ultimately our goal. Thank you, Simon and Jackie and all alumni and current fellows for that, the words of advice. I'm going to now hand back to our colleague Manji to take us through the last segment of this call. Over to you, Manji. And thanks, Sindra, for running this with me.
Thank you so much, Angelo and Sindra, and especially to all our fellows who piped up. Before I close the call, I just want to ask Julian, since you have been very closely tracking WhatsApp, if there's any key question or issue that came up that we missed, Julian?
Folks, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think that I've been watching all of your questions, and the only one that I saw that was not answered was a question about the, Angela, you'd mentioned the time given to notify your current employer that you'll be leaving to take the fellowship for the year, and so there's just a question about what the timing is like for that and how much time is given.
Right. That's a good question. So to take that quickly, it's very tight, unfortunately. We notify applicants in November, early November, at the latest, that they have been selected. We expect a letter back telling us that they're accepting it or whatever, and then they have to let us, the fellowship itself starts in February 1. So they really need to work with their current employer to get released from their current job. For people who are working at the same organization that they will be hosted at, it's definitely an easier process. For those people who have to leave their organization, definitely a little bit more complicated. And the one advice I really have for you is that if you get into the second round, and which means that you have a much better chance of being selected than, you know, when you first apply, if you haven't already spoken to your host your current employer about your possible plans, depending on how, you know, of course, in your own situation, if it works, I would recommend you starting that conversation, because for people who didn't tell their current employer they were moving on, they had a few problems. So it's tight, but it's 3 months that you will have to be able to give notice and leave that organization. All right, so with that, I am actually going to
end the call. I'm sure there are a lot more questions. And the good thing is that you have a lot more ways to ask them. You have access to us, the AVAC at fellows@avac.org. Am I right, Julian, with the email? Is it fellows@avac.org?
That's correct.
Perfect. So you can always ask us questions there. There will be in-country fellow sessions, fellowship information sessions that we'll let you know about, that you can meet previous fellows and ask your questions. And most importantly, a lot of these questions are answered in the information in our application materials and online. So I really encourage you to do your homework first. Make sure that you have read through, and definitely let us know if you have questions. The application deadline is August the 4th. By the end of August, we'll let applicants know if they've advanced to the second round or not. If they do advance to the second round, we will be doing interviews with them and their host organization. They will have more materials to submit as well. We have an external independent review process, which means we bring together a committee of advocates in the field, previous fellows, host organizations, even a couple of researchers. And we try and bring them from the countries where we have a lot of fellowships or applicants, so we get a good sense of that. We make decisions to shortlist people, and we'll let people know in November if they've been selected or not. So I wish you all the very best of luck. We look forward to reading your applications. We look forward to those good ideas. And really, I have to reiterate what all our fabulous fellows said, Jackie and Chandler, Simon and others. This is the right fellowship for you if you are ready to put a year into doing something that you think will bring real change. This is a fellowship for you if you're really want to do more work around prevention, research, advocacy, and you have a fabulous idea. It's a competitive process, but I hope our fellows will tell you that once they get in the program, it's a really exciting program. And it's important to know that even though the fellowship year is only one, we maintain relationships with all our alumni after the fellowship program, and we continue to connect them with AVAC work and AVAC program. So it's a lifelong relationship if all one has to be. It's also important for you to know, if you do not make it through to the second round or you don't get a fellowship, that there are many ways to stay engaged with AVAC's work. We have a number of listservs. We have a blog. We constantly have meetings with partners in your countries. So please connect to us even if you don't get to. We really look forward to expanding the advocacy network we work with. And again, wishing you all the very best of luck, and send us your questions, and look forward to getting all your applications before the deadline on August 4th. Thank you very much.